The first reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know what it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you the meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Each in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I know you kids have never said this, but one of the commonest things that ever happened in my family was something would happen and the word would be, "It's not fair." Never said that, have you? Ever? No, no. My sister was one who liked to make sure that everything was so fair that she got the larger serve because she was the eldest. She thought that the eldest should get the largest, and being in the middle, I wasn't too badly off, but my brother wasn't very happy. So my parents would come along, and what would they do? They would cut the cake. So everybody got the same amount. Fairness is something which is actually often very much situational for us and in the eye of the one who is judging rather than the one who is giving. So we can't really go on what is fair easily unless we understand the whole situation. And that's important because even later on in life, my sister used to complain that everybody else kept more than she did every time because she never got what she wanted. So it's interesting, isn't it? Eventually she got over it, but it took a few years, like 40. Anyway, became a bit of a thing. Anyway, this is one of the things about how God works, because God doesn't work the way we expect him to. God is a good father. He's always going to cut the cake exactly the same for everybody, because he doesn't play favourite. We may think we need to be a favourite, because after all, I'm amazing. I'm a priest. Just gorgeous. And I do such a good job. I should get more. Really? That's not how it works. Not how it works. We're nice. That's not how it works. Sometimes we can go the other way, can't we? We can actually get into a place where everything I've done entitles me to something from God. I am entitled to it because I did all the right things. That's something that the theologians call salvation by works, not grace. But it also is something which says that I'm not very grateful for what I've already got. And this is a problem that the Israelites had. If we think about it, these people had seen all of the plagues of Egypt. So what have we had? They'd sat and they'd seen God do things like turn water to blood, send frogs. What else did we have? We had gnats and things like that and sores, and we had all sorts of things. They'd seen all the plagues. They hadn't been touched by them, sorry. Flies, oh, yes. Well, in Australia, I think we have that plague all the time. And locusts, all these things. The Israelites in Goshen had not been touched by the plagues. They had seen God's power in the work against the Egyptians. And then eventually, of course, the Egyptians said, "For heaven's sake, get out. We've had enough." And off they went. And there they had a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. That was the presence of God with them. Miracle. And then they got all the way to the Red Sea. And what happened with the Red Sea? It dried up. It parted and they walked across on dry land. And then when they went into the wilderness, they needed water and God gave them water. And now they're grumbling that God isn't doing anything for them. Isn't it interesting? What's fair is according to how I think it's fair. So what happened with the Israelites was that they were caught up in something we can all do. And I don't know whether you've ever done it, but sometimes when I am in a place where I am really struggling, I will look back to the time when I wasn't struggling and I'll think that was better. And the Israelites were looking back at Egypt because their tummies were empty. And they were saying, well, in Egypt, we got to eat at least. And you've brought us out here, we're all going to die of hunger. I've heard that in the car about half an hour after we left home to go somewhere. We all can get into this place, can't we? We can all get into this place where somehow right now my need is bigger than anything that I've ever had and something's wrong and nobody's looking after me. And we don't realize we're doing it, but we do it. Anybody can do that. And this is where they're at. God has provided everything, but now they're hungry and they don't have anything to eat. So what does God do? Well, God gives them meat at night, quail. I don't have any quail today. I didn't bring any quail for you, I'm afraid. I didn't think that we would really do quail. I could have gone and got a roast chook, but I thought that probably wasn't quite quail. I didn't have time. And but I do have a little bit of bread. So this isn't normal bread. This isn't normal bread because it's not normal bread that God gave them, because in the desert they didn't have their yeast. They couldn't raise bread and they didn't have any flour for making it. He provided them with manna, and manna became their bread. And manna was something which had the consistency of bread. When you ground it up, it was like flour, so you can make bread from it. But it had a slight honey taste, so it was a little bit sweet. And so I have some pikelets that are just a little bit sweet. They are gluten-free for those who are gluten-free people. But I also have this little thing, which is these are made from other grains. So these both of them are gluten-free grains, but these are made from other grains. And these are supposed to be mini pita breads, but they didn't quite work that way. But they taste quite good. So anyway, I thought it'd be really good because God provided for us that we provide for everybody. So these are for you guys to have a go at putting some butter and some toppings on, and then you can tuck in, and then everybody else can also have something to eat. So here we go. This is manna for the congregation and for us. And for you. So that's, I don't know, I always used to like Vegemite, peanut butter and jam together, but you might not want to do that. This is the big kids as well, depending on how much is left. Okay. The thing about God's generosity is God's generosity doesn't depend on whether or not we're doing the right thing. The Israelites were not doing the right thing. Grumble, 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 grumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. They were very good at grumbling, weren't they? They were very good at not noticing how good God had been and just getting upset about what was happening today. They're really bad at counting their blessings, and they would often come against God and complain, and they would usually go to Moses, whose ears must have got sick of it. Yeah. Well, we haven't got this and we haven't got that and we haven't got the other thing. And they weren't seeing past themselves. And this is what happens when you think that you've done the right things and you're entitled to whatever comes to you. Moses walked by faith, though. And when we have faith and we recognize God's love for us and God's provision for us, then we tend to be more able to count our blessings and less entitled, less I put prayer in and the vending machine didn't give me what I wanted. Done that one? I put the prayer in, I kept putting the prayer in, and I didn't get out of God what I wanted. Therefore, I'm entitled to what I wanted. But if God is God, maybe what you wanted isn't what you need. He's not a vending machine. I can't choose the answer to my prayer, but I can put in the request and he will always hear me. He will love me. He will listen, but I will get what I need right now. And eventually, if it is something which is the right thing for me, I may also get what I want. But I'll often get what I want through what I needed rather than the other way around. God is generous. In the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, we see the generosity of God. The parable is a parable of the kingdom. It's not about working in a vineyard and whether or not the wages are fair. It's about how the kingdom works. So the laborers who started work early in the day, the agreement was for a usual daily wage, which is one denarius. But the man who owns the vineyard, the owner is a generous person and wants people to have work and wants them to have money so they can prepare and care for their family. And so he keeps inviting people in. He wants them all to be working in his vineyard. Apart from anything else it does, the vineyard work is work that needs to be done and it's important. But also, if he keeps calling people in and he has the means to be generous, that means that he can bless them. So the last ones come in at 5 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock they get a denarius, which normally you wouldn't get. In today's thing, we'd say you work an hour, you get an hour's wages, wouldn't you? But the kingdom works different. The thing is, this is not about the money we get, the blessings we get in those sort of material ways. This is a parable about the kingdom of God, the entry into the kingdom. You know, when I come to Christ, when I come to Jesus and I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, at that moment, I become a laborer in the vineyard. I've been invited in to be part of God's kingdom work, and I can work there, and the giving back to him is all about what he's just given me access. From the moment I can step into the vineyard until the moment I accept Jesus as my Savior and repent and have come to him, from that moment I have salvation. I have the assurance of that salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. And I'm sure that if someone had sat all day waiting for work and was hungry and thirsty and knew they didn't have money, if someone came up to them at 5 o'clock and said, come and work for an hour at least, they'll say, yes, please, at least I'll get something. But in fact, they still get everything. Think about the thief on the cross. Jesus was crucified with two other men. One of those men decided that he was going to just insult Jesus and get upset because Jesus didn't do the God thing and get him off the cross. The other one says to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus hears the faith and sees the faith of that man and says, come in. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Did he get to labor in the vineyard at all? No. But he's saved. And salvation is the same for every one of us. And one of the traps of this is that we can feel like we have to labor to receive the salvation. But in truth, the one who owns the vineyard made up his mind he would pay that day's wage from the very beginning. Every one of them was going to get the same. And from the very beginning, that is what we have, salvation through Jesus Christ and our assurance. And that means that everything we do, we need to do in gratefulness for what Jesus has done for us and give back through gratefulness for what has been done in our lives. And gratefulness is not an easy thing to maintain when life isn't good. But even if everything goes wrong, I learned this from my big sister, even if everything goes wrong and the whole world falls apart and I am sitting there staring the worst possible scenario in the face, I am saved. And it does not matter what happens in this life. I know the next is mine. And I have Jesus. And he will walk through that with me. my sister, in her last couple of years, in her dying years, as she knew that she was dying and there was nothing that could be done, my sister opened up a Gmail address called Do You Want Prayer? And spent those years praying for whoever would email her asking for prayer, because she refused not keep giving back to the Lord. That's the attitude God's looking for now. I had a beautiful lady up when I was working in Sydney. She was gorgeous, just a lovely, lovely Sri Lankan lady. So excuse me, I can never do her without the accent. She was a beautiful Sri Lankan lady, a matriarch in her family. And she used to say to me, Janice, you have to talk to St. Peter for me. I say, why? Why do I have to? Because I am not good enough, you see. He might not let me in. And I'd say to her, but you're saved. You are a child of God. You have a place with him. And she would say, no, but I know I'm not good enough. I said, well, none of us are. But she got caught in that place and she felt like her works would be the only thing that would let her in, and therefore we had the most amazing linen. And that was beautiful. But it broke my heart that she felt like she had to tick the box to get in when she already believed in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Not how he wants us to be. He wants us to know we are saved. And then whatever I give back, whether it's in my tithes and my offerings, whether it's in the work that I do for him, whether it's in the prayer that I give, whether it's in the music that I play or the singing that I do or the worship in our church, whether it's when I'm outside and I'm with people and I glorify his name by how I live, how I speak, whatever I'm doing, it's giving back to the one who gave me everything. I will not die, I will live. So this is what the kingdom does. And this is what this parable is about. From the world's point of view, not fair. From God's point of view, he is the provider. And he has given every single one who will come to him in repentance and faith eternal life. And from that place, he will call us into his vineyard and ask us to give back according to our ability to do so. And that exchange is simply to show that he is one who loves and who wants to be loved back. And how we love him back in our lives, in our work and in the things that we do, it doesn't save us. It enriches our lives and it enriches the lives of the people around us. And in doing that, it builds the kingdom of God. And one day we'll come to the end of our work day. And on that day, we'll see it for us. Abundant supply is God's way of doing things, but it isn't always what we want. It will always be, though, what we need. And the beauty of the people in the desert is that God supplied for them for 40 years, even though they grumbled the entire time. And you know what? Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They always had enough to eat. They always had enough to drink. They were always cared for because they were his and he had promised to do it. Amen.